We are gathered here today as the people of God to mark the passing of our good friend, Lester Badgett Dillard, whom all of us knew as Badgett. He was born June 17, 1928 in Willits, North Carolina, and died on the day between Good Friday and Easter, March 29th, this year, at age 57. He is survived by his wife, Polly, by a daughter, Anne, and son, Stephen, by three brothers, Ermel, Ersie, and Gilbert, their families, and by one sister, Miriam Clar. I've done a lot of thinking in my life as to what should happen at a service like this. For one thing, we should spend some time thinking about Badgett. If someone is made in the image of God, is the object of God's eternal love, enters into a living relationship with God, then he should not pass from this world into eternity unnoticed. In the collective memories of those of us who sit here is an enormous picture of Badgett Dillard. But I hope that this service will free you to remember him, to think about him, to talk about him, to share wonderful stories about him. Someone said to me a minute ago, Badgett wouldn't have called off seminary even for his own funeral. That is true. He hated to dismiss anything. Do some reminiscing. It's a time also to put our sense of grief and loss in a context so that it can be healthy and we can be freed to live without a sense of guilt. But most of all, it's a time to put both our memories and our loss against the backdrop of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We are going to sing one of the great hymns of the church. It is "How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord," 383 in the hymn book in front of you. We will sing all of the stanzas and the Amen at the end. May we stand.
How firm a foundation.
the 11th chapter of John. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, sir, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will grant you." Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." "I know that he will rise again," said Martha, "at the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection, and I am life. If a man has faith in me, even though he die, he shall come to life. And no one who is alive and has faith shall ever die. Do you believe this?" "Lord, I do," she answered. "I now believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And from 2 Corinthians 4, "No wonder we do not lose heart. Though our outward humanity is in decay, yet day by day we are inwardly renewed. Our troubles are slight and short-lived, and their outcome an eternal glory which outweighs them far. Meanwhile, our eyes are fixed, not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For what is seen passes away. What is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly frame that houses us today should be demolished, we possess a building which God has provided, a house not made by human hands, eternal and in heaven."
Memories of Madgett Dillard would inevitably run in many directions. Once you leave his home and his family, to which he bore obvious commitment, you'd have to touch on his educational commitment, his commitment to the church, and his commitment to theological education in this nation. He brought the finest in educational background and training to his work. He was a BSBA graduate of Berea College. He received a BD in religious education here at Southern Seminary in 1952, the Master of Religious Education in 1955. He received from the University of Louisville in 1961 the Master of Business Administration. He received the Doctorate in Education from Indiana University with a major in Higher Education Administration. He did further graduate study at Northwestern at the School of Journalism, the University of Kentucky, and the College Business Management Institute. At Harvard University, the Institute for Educational Management in 1970, Stanford University Business Management Institute for Senior College and University Business Offices in 1978, the Carnegie Mellon University, the College Management Program in 1980, the University of Michigan, the Center for the Study of Higher Education in 1980. His church involvements are widely known. He served for a brief 2-year period of time as Minister of Education, but basically gave his life as a lay person, giving splendid leadership in the Highland Baptist Church and more recently in the Walnut Street Baptist Church. One must also, in remembering Badgett Dillard, remember his connection with this institution. And I would remind you that he invested 33 years on the professional staff of Southern Seminary. Not everyone on a staff or faculty must give this kind of devotion. But an institution cannot thrive without a handful of people with this kind of commitment. He demonstrated that in a variety of ways and responsibilities. He came here as a student in 1949. He soon found himself, even in those days, serving as secretary to Dr. Gaines Dobbins, who was interim president of the seminary following the death of Ellis Fuller in 1950. After he concluded his Bachelor of Divinity degree in religious education in 1952, He served as Minister of Education at First Baptist Church, Gainesville, Georgia. He returned to Southern Seminary to edit the tie and to serve as Director of Publicity. He filled that post until 1955. He spent 2 years as Director of Public Relations and then as Director of Administrative Services for 6 years. He returned to his public relation duties 3 more years, 1963 to 66, as Executive Assistant to the President. In 1966, he was once again tapped for business duties. At that time, he became Director of Administration, responsible for organizing and managing a new division of business affairs. 6 years later, in 1972, he was named Vice President for Business Affairs and held that title for 10 years until in 1982 he became Executive Vice President of the seminary. At the time of his death, he had served this institution in public relations roles for 7 years, in business management for 26 years, for a total of 33 years of service to this institution. Other services to his community, to the denomination, and professional areas I could not take the time to enumerate. Perhaps I can put in clear focus the contribution of Badgett Dillard beyond this campus, however, by referring to a letter from the Association of Theological Schools and the Executive Director, Dr. Leon Pacala, in consultation with ATS President C. Douglas J., written on March 5, the day that Badgett learned the seriousness of the illness that claimed his life. Reads in this way: "Dear Roy, among the many responses evoked by Badgett's recent medical report has been a felt need to write you in behalf of the association to acknowledge the unusual contributions and leadership that Badgett has rendered the profession as a whole. During my 6 years in office, I can think of few persons whose influence by virtue of stature, wisdom, and hard work have been more decisive in shaping many aspects of our common endeavor. I want to recognize his unusual accomplishments, commend him for them, and acknowledge our indebtedness to the seminary for sharing him so fully with the entire community of theological schools. As you and his colleagues know so well, Badgett brings to every responsibility a remarkable combination of talents, skills, and insights. Though he was a specialist in the more technical aspects of institutional life, he never considered institutional finances or business procedures as ends in themselves. He worked with these with a clear and incisive perception and understanding of the purposes for which seminaries exist. The clarity of his vision was the inerring guide in his judgments and counsel. His willingness to invest himself completely in his immediate responsibilities while sharing himself with a wider community of theological schools are indications of his all-consuming commitment to the ministry to which he has felt so keenly called. I shall not enumerate the very inclusive inventory of his contributions to the enterprise, for these are both known and recognized. Suffice it to say that theological education in North America carries for good the marks of his leadership and influences. Please communicate to your associates and to your board the gratitude of the association for sharing so fully with member institutions Badgett's remarkable talents and skills." I share this for the first time with anyone and think it most appropriate on this occasion we remember that his life ran not only deep into the heart of this institution, but ran across this nation and into Canada through the 200 theological schools accredited by the Association of Theological Schools in the United States and Canada. No one could adequately summarize Badgett's life, and it would be foolish to attempt that today. It is not our purpose to inventory his accomplishments, nor is it our intention here in some superficial fashion to speak with what kind of eloquence might be mustered about him. But it is a time to remember who he was, the faith that sustained him, the heritage he left to family, to the seminary, to friends here assembled, and many parts of the world. He said to me 3 weeks ago, Saturday, "My theology will not let me complain about what is happening to me, nor to delay what is going to happen. I only hope I will have strength to face whatever happens when it comes." Now, as you might imagine, I shall not soon forget those words. After we had visited about seminary business, it was at his leadership that the conversation turned to the emerging and tragically brief battle with melanoma cancer, which already had invaded his body. And today, at this precise moment, I still marvel at the quiet composure which was his as he spoke of the battle which would so fiercely rage before overpowering his life on last Saturday. Those words, spoken without noticeable emotion or fear, were simultaneously an affirmation of the faith by which he lived, an expression of the hope which sustained him through his struggle, and unshaken confidence with which he died. I ask you today, could any one of us ask more than this kind of faith conviction, whether in our living or in our dying? "My theology will not let me complain about what is happening to me, nor to delay what is going to happen. I only hope I will have strength to face whatever happens when it does." Now, no person could always live with that nobility of commitment and strength. Regardless of what is happening, or what is going to happen, or when it comes, Bagehot was no exception to this. And though I have no basis for knowing, I imagine that his common humanity, like so many, indeed all of us, led him to occasions when, in the darkness of the night, or in the fleeting hours of the day, he cried like Job, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." And yet also, like Job, the fires of adversity and suffering tempered his faith and shaped it into a more stable and dependable companion for death's dark hour. How strange, as I reflected yesterday afternoon and again today on this, or is it really strange, that all of us have the tendency to address death so obliquely, so indirectly, when it is our final adversary and our arch enemy, to speak of it indirectly as what is happening, what is going to happen, whatever happens when it comes. And yet on that afternoon, as we visited less than 3 weeks ago, both he and I knew that beyond the hidden veil of that language, he spoke of his death. How would you characterize the life of Bagehot Dillard from that kind of faith perspective? As I thought of him, the phrase came, he was a man of all seasons, so versatile in all his various capabilities, so universal in the breadth of his concern. He was indeed a man for all seasons. I think he must have known something of what the writer of Ecclesiastes did about the rhythm of life, when the writer of that book wrote to say, "For everything there is a season, and a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together." And on he writes about the rhythm of life, And somehow, as one talked with Badgett, one gained the impression that he was that kind of universal person living in that rhythmic balance of life. For him, everything proper had its season. And there came a time when winter turned to spring, and it was a time to be born and a time to die. And he faced that with courage and resolution and determination, which does not come lightly. He did not face his dying in the quiet way that he spoke to me 3 weeks ago Saturday because of some simple fatalism which surrenders one life to an ambiguous and unknown future. He did not simply throw up his hands to say, "I cannot control the future, so I accept whatever happens." Rather, with a courageous note of commitment born out of the quality of his relationship to Christ, he could speak softly, quietly, about what is happening, and about whatever happens, and about what happens when it does, and speak of his death in those quiet ways. He could do this because, like the psalmist in Psalm 31, he said, "But I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands." And though he lived with the rhythm of life and times bringing this and then that, he lived undergirded by the conviction that his times were in God's hands. Those of us who are friends, and especially members of the family, to Mr. Dillard, to children, to others here today, we can turn to him as a guide for us even now as we meet together, both to reminisce about him, to renew our faith, which is identical, we hope, with his. And we will do so in a relationship like him. And I trust that today we will pick up those words he spoke to me on a Saturday afternoon as we sat in his living room, parenthetically still wanting to conduct seminary business, almost to the last. And I hope in our relationship with Jesus Christ we will not complain about what is happening as though we were exempt from humanity's common sorrow. Nor shall we seek to control God's calendar as he guides our lives into the future. Nor shall we object to whatever happens within his will when it does happen. And we shall live like this, as I have said, not because of some superficial fatalism which gives up on life, but because we are held in his will and in his purpose. We find strength today and consolation in what once was, though it will never be again. I do not intend by that statement to bring any added burden to members of the family, to those of us who are friends, but there is, I think, healing in the candid awareness that there are some aspects of his life that are simply gone forever. There is a reality about his loss that strikes you as members of a family in ways that it cannot touch the rest of us. But there is also a reality about his loss that strikes many of us here in a way that does not touch others either. And so we look back with a note of reality to what has been and cannot be again. Meeting today to reminisce about him, to celebrate in his presence still today, and to find consolation from one another. And in so doing, we can do this because of the abiding power of Christ in his life and ours. God is the great environmentalist who never loses anything he creates. And Badgett Dillard's life was bound in faith with him. I found it interesting that in reading Badgett's resume, that would have been sent to the finest institutions, agencies, institutions, in which he lists all the qualifications and educational institutions, all of his experiences, but there boldly on the third line, Christian experience. I accepted Christ as Savior and Lord July 23, 1939. You take consolation in that. And he, like martyrs and witnesses to the faith, since the day of our Lord, have quoted the 31st Psalm, the 6th verse, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." Sure, there is a reality about his loss that we dare not ignore. But there is an abiding continuity also that gives to us hope in this present moment. And I ask, what is it now that brings that quality of consolation? Is it not to be found in the quality of his commitment to which we have already spoken? Is it not the assurance that already he has heard those words of the good servant spoken of the master saying, quote, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And we find consolation today not only because of his abiding commitment, but because of the continuity with the church, which means that you're never left alone. We always affirm the continuity of Christ in the church. It is commonplace to emphasize that where two or three are gathered together, there he will be in the midst of that small group, for he is the body of Christ. But we think not often enough that there is also the continuity of all the redeemed with the church. And I have no ground on which I could offer proof. With all my heart, I am convinced that you will never worship as a family together, wherever you are in the church, apart from Badgett. In ways that we do not understand, our lives are forever bound up in the life of God. And there's a continuity in the church that'll always keep your life linked with his. And there is also this institution. To those who are members of a family, and especially those immediate members of the family living here, which in his 33 years he helped to be a place of concern and affirmation. I seldom go any place, including this past weekend in Washington, that people don't ask about Badgett Dillard. Sometimes it's a fellow student of other years. Sometimes it's an alumnus whom he helped in a time of need. Before the service today, it was one of you who stopped to tell how Badgett helped you and helped your wife get a job teaching in 1951 or two. And I'm convinced that this kind of community where we are can afford a source of consolation and support. So we look not only to Badgett, we look to ourselves today. For we need a consolation that he no longer needs. And we somehow reach back and find it in what once was and never can be again. We find it in what is now and will never change. But most of all, we find it in what is yet to be and will be forevermore in a resurrection faith. Temporarily vanquished by death on Saturday morning, he stood with Good Friday on one side and Easter Sunday on the other. There is always that forward hope and thrust about our faith. And we come today with the words of the Apostle Paul ringing deep in our hearts and in our minds, saying that we should not sorrow as others do who have no hope. He does not counsel us, do not sorrow. We do sorrow, and sorrow deeply at the passing of our friend. And you, Polly, and others, at the loss of a husband and a father, a brother. or other family relationships. We sorrow. But we do not sorrow like people who have no hope. Hear the word of God. For as a man, by a man came death, by a man also has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruit, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. That Badgett died midway between Good Friday and Easter morning points us to the hope of this season of celebration when we experience again the power of the resurrection. With the cross behind and the open tomb before him, Badgett experienced a gift of life which can only come once to any human being. In the mystery of God and as the gift of faith, we believe in the transforming power of the resurrection. It is no mere article of faith. It is a foundation of our life, the firm basis for our hope in the presence of death. The mystery is articulated clearly by the scriptures, which says, but some will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps a wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he chooses, and to each kind of seed its own body. The first man from the earth, a man of dust, the second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? I would appear to walk before you with the presumptuous tread of a know-it-all if I pretended that I understand how all this can happen. It is, as Paul said, a mystery with God. But I think Badgett Dillard could tell you now all about it. And he leaves us with that resounding note of affirmation and of commitment. And I offer it for consolation and hope. My theology will not let me complain about what is happening to me, nor to delay what is going to happen. I only hope that I will have strength to face whatever happens when it comes. Praise be unto God that in Jesus Christ, Badgett Dillard knew that strength. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would come into our hearts and our lives. We have lost someone whom we love dearly. And we pray for thy strength. We understand so little and believe so much. And yet perhaps it is a time like this that makes us to be little children again and trust thee as we ought. And so we pray that a new vision of the resurrected Christ may come to us, that he may shatter our fear, that he may dissolve our discouragement, that he will be, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, our sustainer, comforter, and counselor. For Polly, for children, for every member of the family, we pray thy sustaining grace. We pray that thou wouldst give to us, each and all, not only the fond recollection today of a good man who lived with integrity, who is now with thee, but a vision of the unfinished task that he has left to us, that we here today might be all that we ought in life unto the will and purpose of God, and that we in this institution may continue to be that kind of institution whose quality and commitment led him to give 33 years of excellence in the service of thy kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There was a hymn written by Isaac Watts that so pervaded the life of Badgett and Polly that they called it their song. And as they had some discussions about this day, it was agreed that it would either be played or it would be sung, and we are going to sing it. It is, O God, our help in ages past. It is hymn number 223 in the hymn book in front of you. We'll sing all of the stanzas and the amen, and the hymn will be the benediction. Let me ask you to remain standing at the close of the hymn for the recessional, and after the family has left, then we will be dismissed. May we stand together.
Thank you.
The reading of the scripture and the prayer will mark the end of the service, but there are some of you who have not had a chance to speak to Badgett's brothers or their family or to Polly or to the children, and at that time it would be an appropriate thing to say a word. I think Badgett would haunt me if I did not tell you something. He stood at this place and said, "Whoever stands here should say to the people, look at the seminary. You can see both of the spires from here. And I have done it, and you look and see." Because there is a sense of permanence in a place like this, I want to read from the book of Revelation a passage that reminds us that death is not the final word. From Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had vanished, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice proclaiming from the throne, 'Now at last God has his dwelling among men. He will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be an end to death, and to mourning, and crying, and pain, for the old order has passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Indeed, they are already fulfilled. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. A draught from the water springs of life will be my free gift to the thirsty. All this is the victor's heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." May we pray. Eternal God, as we stand in this place, ready to commit to the earth the body of this one whom we love, we know that the day that we've read about in the scripture has not come yet. But because thou hast raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we will leave this place with the assurance that death is not the final word. And we ask you to comfort us with this knowledge. We ask your continued presence with Polly and with the children in the days ahead when it is so difficult for them to live with their loneliness, that you will be with them. Comfort them with each other, with family that loves and prays for and sustains. Comfort them with Christian friends who will surround them with their love and with their helpfulness. Oh God, free us now to go on living, to give ourselves to thy church and the institution she builds, to the building up of thy kingdom. Comfort us, dear God, with thy presence and thy power, and the hope that is in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.